Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Buffalo Bills Radio Network. Sports update.
Update comes from One Bills Drive, where the Bills are getting a little bit busy, as is the rest of the NFL. The Bills have signed defensive tackle Jordan Phillips to a one-year contract extension. He was scheduled to hit the free agent market next week when free agency begins. He is an energetic interior defensive lineman who played in place of Kyle Williams, got 25% of the snaps on the defensive line. Phillips, a former second-round pick of the Dolphins in 2015, came to the Bills after six games last season, contributed 19 tackles, including two for losses. A four-year veteran, Jordan Phillips re-signed with the Buffalo Bills for just 1 year. Bills are going to bring back defensive end Eddie Yarbrough for another year, according to ESPN. He was a rotational player along the Bills' defensive line for the last two seasons, an exclusive rights free agent. And Eddie Yarbrough, who appeared in 15 games for the Bills last season, has agreed to terms. Former Patriots tight end Dwayne Allen making some free agent visits. Reportedly, he will visit with the Buffalo Bills later today. The Bills, the Ravens, the Dolphins, the Lions also have expressed interest in Dwayne Allen, a seven-year vet who's played with the Colts and the Patriots. 5 years with the Colts, last two with the Patriots in his last two seasons. Former third-round pick of the Colts, viewed as a strong blocking tight end. Around the NFL, free agency looms 8 days away. The New York Giants are ready to move on from big safety Landon Collins. They are unlikely to franchise tag the safety with the deadline coming up at 5 o'clock today. New York loves Collins, but they view the tag number for safeties to be too high. Buffalo Sabres, losers of 8 of their last 10 games, returned to practice today at KeyBank Center, getting set for their next game Thursday night in Chicago. The Sabres, after last night's 4-3 loss to the Edmonton Oilers, now 9 points out of the second wildcard spot, the final playoff spot. Last night, the Sabres blew a 3-1 lead and lost to Edmonton by a score of 4-3. And college basketball, the 19th-ranked UB Bulls hit the road playing at Ohio. One final road game, they scored 114 points when they beat the Bobcats in the first game earlier this season. They've won 26, and another victory for UB would tie the school record set last year with 27 wins. That's the update from One Bills Drive. John Murphy, Steve Tasker in Orchard Park in our One Buffalo studio. Joined on the Subway Fresh Talk Hotline by one of our favorite guests. She is the network analytics expert for the NFL Network, Cynthia Freeland, fresh off her standout performance at the NFL Scouting Combine. Your stock went up at the Combine, Cynthia. I'm sure you'll be happy to hear that.
Thank you very much. I'm sad I didn't get to see you there.
Yeah, yes. I know. You were busy. They had you locked up over in the Dome most of the time, right? At Lucas Oil Stadium.
Yeah, we were there for like 12 hours a day. So yeah. I definitely got my fill of Lucas Oil Stadium for a week.
What was your impression overall of this combine? I know, I don't know how many combines you've been to, but what struck you about this particular 2019 edition?
So the interesting part about this combine were – really, the number, I mean, obviously this is a very defensive draft. Like, there are just some athletes in this draft. I was a little surprised at how well the wide receivers tested as well. I mean, like, we knew the defensive ends and linemen, and we knew that that was going to be, like, kind of the big focus, right? The edge rushers and linebackers, we knew it was going to be a nasty draft for them. But I don't know. I wasn't expecting the wide receivers to be such burners and to have, you know, kind of all these sort of great results. I don't know what's in the water at Mississippi State and Ole Miss and Michigan and all these places with these guys who just like some of these results just blow my mind just what kind of athletes they are.
You know, Cynthia, and so you brought out the receiver, and Steve and I have had kind of an ongoing discussion today. Look, I know there's 7 weeks until the draft. I'm not saying draft the guy now based on his combine performance, but
no.
DK Metcalf showed me enough at the combine to make me want to spend the next 7 weeks learning more about him. I mean, there's a chance this guy could be really, really something special, something different, don't you think?
Yeah, I mean, he ran faster and jumped higher than Julio Jones at almost the same height. So, that's not to say he's going to be Julio Jones, but just to give you a mental picture of what you're working with athletically, he's insane. He also is about the nicest kid that I met there. You know, he is recovering from a neck injury where he didn't think he was going to be able to kind of be participating. He came up and we did an interview with him and he was like, you know, I didn't think I was going to be here. And he had tears in his eyes and he was calling his mom and he was just so grateful. He was just like such a, like, he's the kind of guy you want to root for sure. But I'm not, you know, obviously I do analytics, so I can't let that cloud my judgment. But I do know, you know, if he ended up in Buffalo, he would be a fan favorite very fast. He's that, got that personality.
The only red flag that came up with him was his three-cone drill wasn't all that good. But how does that equate? I know you've done a lot of analytics about what was important and what numbers are important in these things. What do you think about a guy who tests out so positively in so many ways and then has sort of a hole in his statistics?
It's not even remotely important. The three-cone drill is a good one for agility. But if you're saying, is DK Metcalf going to run laterally in space, like in within such a small area, that's not even a route that's on the route tree. Like, I guess maybe like a slant that went horribly wrong, but throw that out. Don't, just in the same way. Also, don't overanalyze his 4.33 40. Don't make any of it too great, right? The point is that the ones that do matter, like his vert, the first 10 split of his 40, which is like initial burst, all of those things fell within elite ranges. And then that just says, okay, I'm going back to watch his film and to make sure that what I saw from him in college, and by the way, he was injured, so he is returning from an injury, so that's something people are going to have to take into consideration very strongly. And then that's what you look at, right? Like, get over the three-cone drill is far more important for defensive ends or people who have to move in short area spaces laterally more often.
On the line with Cynthia Freeland, NFL Network analytics expert. Cynthia, it's important to note that your analysis deals with, what, 15 years of combine results, and you compare position groups against each other based on those 15 years of results. That's how you get to your suppositions about who's playing well, who's not at the combine, right?
So the way I did it was I took NFL data, like who they became, because there's a lot of things that are unknown. So, for example, are you playing a 43 defense or a 34 defense, right? Like, is it a defense with a lot of exotic fronts or not? Like, these are the things that matter once you get development and what happens in the league. So I take 15 seasons of NFL data, so who they were in the NFL, National Football League, and then I worked with coaches to create profiles by position of what the most important attributes are. So, you know, Antonio Brown is elite because of these things. So I bucketed every single player in the National Football League. They get 3 years to become who they are. And then I worked backwards. So once we profiled everyone into five buckets, then I went backwards and I put everything that was known about them on a piece of paper, and I created, so from their college resume to combine results, and I looked for correlations. So I found the things that were most correlated to success, but I worked it backwards because you and I and everyone else know that the philosophy that a team plays with and the amount of, like, you know, training and who you get to work with and how, you know, Patrick Mahomes had the luxury of not having to start year one, things like that, right? You get 3 years to become you are, and then I work it backwards to find the lookalikes from the past.
Well, I got to ask you now about let me just get back to where my question was. Hold on.
Yeah.
It is, I know. Sorry about that, Cynthia.
No, you're good.
Tell me about anybody in this draft and compare them to guys who we know, guys like Julio. What's DK Metcalf? How does he compare to Julio Jones? How does he compare to AJ Green? You know, some of the great receivers that you obviously have evaluated. Do these numbers of these guys in this draft, did your assessment of them shuffle around the guys that are available in this draft?
Yeah, so, like, he does, DK Metcalf does have comparables to, a Julio Jones or an AJ Green. However, you do have to look at his, like, college body of work, and you have to go back and you have to say, okay, did you see him on film run the routes that we would be playing with our team? Like, what do the Bills want? If you were looking for the Bills, like, what strategy do we want? Bills do need a number one receiver. So how do we, what role do we anticipate him playing on our team? And then do we go see that those routes, like the goes and the deep routes, the true number one routes, like, are those the ones that he's going to be able to do? Does his college film match the combine results? and then also match our philosophy. So it's three-prong event, right? So it's what did we see in college? What do we see at the combine? How would that relate to our philosophy?
Cynthia, one of the things you have done is gone through the combine now that it's over and came up with numbers that mattered. And look, we're overwhelmed mm-hmm. with numbers after the weekend of workouts. But what were the important ones? What should NFL fans take away from this combine in terms of the numbers that mean something?
So I thought it was interesting trend-wise that this season, so if you take all of the 40 times for wide receivers and you put an average up, this is the first time that that average, so typically, like, obviously, you know, the average doesn't mean, like, just the fastest people, right? It's everyone who's run and what they've averaged. And this is actually the fastest wide receiver class overall that we've seen since 2003. So 2003 is when things really became automated with the testing. So it's easier apples to apples to compare from the 2003 stuff because that was when, you know, the electronic timing was in place as opposed to hand timing. So
that's interesting. Are people faster? Is that as simple as that?
It's, you know, I think it's also, like, the way that they've been training, right? These, like, I got a chance to talk to a lot of these guys who, like, a number of guys were really training with, like they went to Kobe's gym out here in Los Angeles where it's called the, like, Mamba gym or whatever. And ultimately they were doing basketball drills in order to, like, help, like, really, you know, train for specifically jumping and train for specifically, like, so I think it's a greater emphasis on, you know, training and how they prepare for the combine specifically. I'm not saying it's incredibly predictive of the future, but I do think it's interesting that they're so able to focus and specify. I mean, DK Metcalf was 1.6% body fat. That's just ludicrous. Like, that's insane, right? Mm-hmm. So he's not going to play at that. He's not going to play at 1.6 because you actually need to be a little heavier. You need to have a higher fat content to prevent injury. So he was training for these results, and then, you know, it just shows dedication and, you know, real commitment to what is being asked of them, right? Yeah. So I think that's kind of how it comes across.
Cynthia, I was telling my partner Steve here, one of the most astute comments I heard all weekend came from your colleague Daniel Jeremiah about Metcalf when he said, okay, time for him to get away from the weight room and get in onto the yoga mat. He probably would benefit from that type of workout now, right?
Yeah, a lot of guys do a lot of Pilates and yoga. Lorenzo, like, you got some people out there in your way who talk about doing Pilates all the time. So those are more like flexibility-based things. But look, they're asked to participate in the combine. Sure. They're asked to get results in the combine. And then next they'll be asked to show up at training camp and mini camp and all those things that are part of the NFL cycle. So they really have it down pat from a training standpoint. And that's what you're seeing, these, like, freak athletes, like, go watch Jalen Ramsey, like, he and his Instagram and stuff. You'll see he's in great shape, too. Like, these elite-level guys are doing elite things year-round. So they're really, like, you're starting to see the younger guys take to it even earlier than before.
How do you see the very top of this draft taking shape?
I think Kyler Murray goes number one. I think we see – I believe Josh Rosen will be playing in Washington. I don't know this for sure, but I believe that he will. I have strong indications that he – it will be headed to Washington and Kyler to Arizona. And then I think some defensive players will go off the board quickly. I think Quinnen Williams is going to be from the defensive tackle out of Alabama. He had, like, what I'm going to say is his combine results were exactly within the ranges that show, like, that help predict for someone to become above average or elite in the NFL. But they weren't, like, super burnery, right? Like, Rashawn Gary, he's an edge defender, had an even better day. But when I got a chance to talk to some of the defensive coaches, and they talk about footwork, and they talk about how many steps before you have to be headed towards the quarterback. By the way, the answer to that is 5. Like, when they talk about the footwork, it's like everything he did on film matched everything that happened at the combine, matched how he interviewed. That's the one who I think, like, if I had to say who's the guy who I think is going to be a Pro Bowler really quickly, I think it might be that. I think it might be Quinnen Williams.
Hey, back to the quarterback for a second, Cynthia. I loved what you did post-combine when you talked about people, position groups, stock up, stock down. And on the quarterbacks.
My Buffalo guy, I love him. I'm rooting for him big time.
Yeah, you had Tyree Jackson. Yeah, tell me what you thought of him.
6'7", really heavy. I think it was like 240-something. I can't remember off.
Yeah, 249,
he
I
ran,
think.
249. He ran like a 4.56 40, which is hilarious. And I know this is ridiculous, but when I watch their faces and when I watch to see if they're having fun and really, like, you know, like, listening and just enjoying the moment, Like, this kid was just crushing it.
Yeah.
People were talking about nobody, and no offense, I know people in your area knew who he was, but nobody really knew who he was nationally prior, but he made such a great impression on literally everyone. Like, everyone was talking about his base looked great. There's only one quarterback who measured taller than him in the 15-year sample. Do you have any guess who it is?
Osweiler.
Nope. It's Mike Glennon. He's taller than Brock Osweiler. It's rare to have such a tall quarterback,
yeah.
But he made such a great impression, and people were like, you know what, this kid's like, you know, like, I'm liking what I'm seeing here. So I know I'm personally, like, I just was a fan of how he handled himself,
yeah.
And he had the it factor. He had the great swagger. Like, some of these things that when you talk to, you know, obviously football is always like a marriage of, like, you know, the numbers and the philosophy and what you see on the field. And people were really, you know, people around the league, because I was like, who's your favorite sleeper amongst these four? And I asked, and I didn't get anyone to say anyone other than him.
He's got, in fact, his pro days right on the other side of the building here where we are next week. Yeah, we're looking forward to that. Next week he's going to be throwing here.
He just looks like he's having a great time.
Yeah.
I know that's stupid, but he's having a great time. And, like, his base was great. People were happy with his throws. He made a good impression. I really, truly hope, you know, he gets a chance.
And one more quarterback I want to ask you about, though, and your stock up, stock down. Kyler Murray didn't do anything at the combine, and yet you had his stock going up. How did he accomplish that?
Literally, the only thing anyone was worried about with him was his measurables. Is he tall enough? I don't think anyone went to the combine team-wise that thought he was going to throw. I don't think anyone thought he was. Maybe people thought he would participate in some of the drills, but I think everyone was kind of like, nah, I think he just needs to get measured. And there was like this threshold. Oh, my God, he's got to be at least 5'10". If he measures in 5'10 or below, it's going to be terrible for him, blah, blah, blah. He measured in at 5'10 and 1/8, which is hilarious to me. But that was all it took. And he also had 9.5-inch hands. Hand size is something, especially in cold weather climates, that people are really concerned about, right? So that, like, nine and a quarter inches is really the smallest it can be. So he's in the range. 9.5 is fully fine where he needs to be. And he was heavier than people thought. He was like 207 or 208.
I was going to ask you about that, Cynthia. Is there any question about him putting on weight just for the combine and not being able to function athletically like he has in college at that weight?
You know, that's a great question. I think here's how I feel like people are viewing Kyler Murray. I think people are viewing him as, if you want to play that style, he's great. I feel like a lot of people are kind of like I think Arizona like loved him, and then after that, I'm not really sure. People are more like it kind of feels like if I were taking the temperature of the room, it says, you know, Kyler's gone real quick. We're looking at either like Dwayne Haskins or Drew Lock or Garrett Stidham. Actually had a really nice combine as well.
Last question I have for you, and it's back to your stock up, stock down. Offensive lineman, who had a good week at the combine? What'd you have?
Jonah Williams out of Alabama was who he thought he'd be. You know what I mean? Like, everyone thought he'd be the best, and he tested that way. But, you know, I was really – I went to Boston College for undergrad. And I'm telling you, there's no bias here, but I'm excited to talk about Chris Lidstrom because people were drawing comparisons between him and Cody Whitehair, who's another kind of – I'm going to say not ideal size or, like, weird size person playing tackle who they'll probably – you know, they'll move him inside. Chris Lindstrom's even been taking some snaps under center.
Right.
So it's drawing that sort of Bears Cody Whitehair, you know, that's a really nice comparison. Really nice comparison. Pro Bowler, no big deal, just a really good dude. So he drew a lot of comparisons there. He did some great things for himself. He tested really well. His interviews went really well. That's a big deal, especially for the O-line position. Those interviews for guys like that they take those really, really seriously.
Yeah. Hey, Cynthia, I'll be happy to know that my partner, Steve Tasker here, is going to do an in-depth analysis of the last 6 years of our guests on the show and rank them according to analytics. You're going to get a good grade, I think. We'll see. We'll let you know.
I hope so.
Mathematician.
Let me know what I need to make that grade go higher.
That's right, yeah. Mathematicians are always welcome.
Thank you, Cynthia. Great talking with you.
Yeah, great talking to you. Talk to you soon.
Thanks. Cynthia Freeland, NFL Network analytics expert. You can catch her work on NFL.com and on the NFL Network. Joined us on the Subway Fresh Take Hotline, presented by Subway Restaurants, proud to be locally owned and operated. You know what I didn't ask, Steve? Just because I thought she probably was getting tired of listening to us. But there's a whole, and I ran into people over the weekend. Where were you? Combine. What the heck is that? Oh, is that that underwear Olympics? Nobody pays attention to it. No. Look, it is what it is. It's measurements, it's medical tests, and it's tests on the field. And it does have meaning. It's not the deciding factor on who gets drafted where, but it's important information that can be analyzed, as Cynthia does so well, analyzed and dissected, and you can rank people. It's just another point of reference, and this guy has a chance to be a better player than this guy based on some of the stuff that goes on at the combine. It's not the deciding factor.
Yeah, here's the thing. These teams have been watching film on all of these players for months, all the way through their seasons this past year. Some of these guys are sophomores, redshirt sophomores. Some of these guys the teams didn't even know were going to be available in this draft. They might not even come out to declare for the draft. So they watch all these guys on film, and what the combine is the first chance for all these teams, and these, let's face it, they're experts, as much of an expert as you can be. They go in there and they look at these guys and they evaluate them. They've seen 100 kids just like them. And they evaluate why this kid's going to be different. Why is he going to be good? And this other one over here who looked a lot like him was bad. They get paid to make those calls. And the combine is information that these teams chisel in stone. And they find out about them, and they evaluate them on that. So it is important, and they take it very seriously. That's how this thing got started.
Yeah.
And because they all, everybody was spending all this money trying to go out and find guys and look for guys and stuff. And they said, listen, we all of a sudden they look around, and every time they go to a school, the same other teams are there looking at the same guy. They say, why don't we bring these guys in, save ourselves a ton of money, a ton of time. All we're doing really is finding out if they really are as tall as they say they are and as heavy as they say they are and as fast as they say they are.
Right.
Let's see. And so when they started doing it, and then they started expanding what else they did. I want to see, can we interview this kid? I want to sit down and talk with him.
Sure. You got him all in one place.
Right. We have a thing that correlates with success, explosion. Let's see how high they can jump off 2 feet. Let's see how far they can jump off 2 feet. You know, then they started adding this other stuff in. And now they're selling tickets.
Well, and that, did we talk about, we've talked about the combine for over a week now. Did we talk about this? I heard the rumor down in Indy last week that there's some people think, you know, the greedy network people think that maybe the combine should be spread out over 2 weekends to make it 2 weekends of national TV. It's on, it was on ESPN and ABC and NFL Network this past weekend. That'd be a lot. I mean, that would be kind of, you know, I know the league does a good job of making sure that every nickel is collected, but that would be a little too much, I would think.
I would not be surprised if it goes on live primetime.
Yeah, I've heard that too, yeah.
Because here's the thing. These are kids from college football. Let's face it, it's a big industry. And there are a lot of people who are fans of these kids.
Yeah.
They know these guys. They want to see what they look like. They want to see their guy from their school and their conference do well. They want to see the Toledo fans want to see their guys go up there and compete. UB fans want to see Tyree Jackson throw against Kyler Murray.
Yeah.
Let's see it. You know, it's pretty compelling for people who are fans of the sport, and particularly not even fans of the NFL, but fans of college football.
Highest rated sports programming on this winter, for sure, or this month, for sure, February, March.
Yeah.
Higher than NBA games, higher than NCAA basketball.
Was it
games.
Higher than the AAF?
I'm sure it is.
It took a number.
Hockey, not even a blip on the screen, Steve. I just had to throw that in to get you riled up. Coming back with more. Hey, we want to play one more combine thing for you when we come back. Matt Bowen joined us last week, I think last Friday it might have been. And it's really cool things to say, interesting things to say about his Buffalo Bills and the Bills' secondary defensive backfield. He thinks they're one of the best in the league. We'll play that for you when we come back. NFL true and false when we come back. And you can get involved in our topic of the day. What will help Josh Allen the most this offseason? In terms of personnel, is it offensive line, receivers, tight end, something else? Give us a call or weigh in via Twitter. The phone lines are open, 803-0550, toll-free 1-888-552-550. Come on back, One Bills Live, presented by Kalata Health from One Bills Drive. This is Buffalo Bills Radio. Welcome back to One Bills Live. John Murphy, Steve Tasker, about a half hour left in the show. Show's gone quickly today, Steve. Doesn't it feel like it?
It's because of the stellar Twitter poll we had.
Hey, the Twitter poll's not bad. Let's check it. Now
Twitter poll's an offense to nature.
Now that you've mentioned it, I want to double check.
70% offensive line rebuild is the most important thing to help Josh Allen
this
offseason.
Let's give it some context.
I knew it was going to be.
What will help Josh Allen the most this offseason? That's our Twitter poll. And we've got good response, and it is definitely one-sided, and I agree with the responses, but I do think it's a question that has to be asked. And I'd like to read the results to you, so I will. What will help Josh Allen the most this offseason? We're almost 2.5-3 hours into it, and 71% of our respondents say offensive line rebuild will help him the most. 25% say acquisition of wide receivers will help him the most. 3% say adding tight ends. 2% say something else. And I get it. I agree. We've had, 2,800 responses on this. And I get it. 70% say offensive line rebuild. I hope that's what they do. But I wouldn't ignore wide receivers.
They won't. They're not going to. But I think if you fix the offensive line, everything else gets better automatically anyway. Even the receivers that were also willing to kick to the curb already will get better if you fix the offensive line. So that's where I'm totally with the poll. I mean, and that's the reason I think it's everybody thinks the same thing.
Right? We await tomorrow's Twitter poll.
It's on me, right? Because I was complaining so big time.
Two
about
and a half
one.
Hours of vetching. Is that the word?
We need a Twitter poll with four options that all get 25%.
We've had close to that.
We've had some good ones. Yeah. Today's not one of those.
You know what personnel does not need really attention this offseason much from the Bills? The secondary, right? And we talked about our visit to the combine. Everybody talked about Josh Allen. They did when we talk about the Bills. Matt Bowen, though, former Bills safety, and now he is part of the team for NFL Matchup on ESPN. He writes for ESPN. He does in-depth tape analysis. Matt Bowen had a lot of good things to say about the Bills' defensive backfield. He said they're one of the best in the league, which some of us think he's right on with that. Mm-hmm. I just want to play that again and see if I want to talk about that a little bit. Matt Bowen, former Bills safety, now analyst for NFL Matchup on ESPN, says the Bills secondary is one of the best in the league. Here's what he told us.
Love the secondary.
Yeah.
I love the secondary. You know, you have another Hawkeye, Micah Hyde. Micah's versatility, Micah's leadership, his professionalism off the field. Micah Hyde is a true pro.
Yeah.
And I think that's the best way you can start. I think it's the best compliment you can get. Outside of being tough, and Micah's tough as well. And Poyer at safety, Tredavious White. I remember watching Tredavious White at the Senior Bowl, and he didn't have the hype of some of the top-tier corners, but you watch Tredavious White in drills, you say, one, this young man's been coached extremely well, and you understand that coming from LSU because of his technique, but his competitiveness, the way he competes. And that's the first thing I look for. I do work for the SEC Network at ESPN during the draft process, and I remember watching film on Levi. Because he was targeted a lot. He was targeted a lot in college. But he made a lot of plays, too.
Right.
He was always around the football. And, again, he doesn't have the elite measurables in terms of, with being a guy that likes to use his hand. Yeah. He doesn't have a huge frame. He doesn't.
Yeah.
But that's who he is. Can he get bigger? Yeah, he'll get bigger as he grows as a professional athlete. But that's really who he is. And, again, that's why we were talking about someone who competes. That was all over his college film. Because he was targeted a lot, and he was put in adverse situations, and he responded.
Matt Bowen talking to us last Thursday, I believe, and three different guys he talked about. Didn't even talk about Jordan Poyer, who I think is outstanding too. But on Micah Hyde, he makes a good point. I think we're almost at the point, Steve, 2 years into Micah Hyde's tenure with the Bills, that we take him for granted. What a fine player he is. What a leader he is. I think with Kyle gone, I would not be surprised if the Bills lean on him more, Micah Hyde, to be a leader in that locker room, to kind of show the young guys, here's who we are, here's who the Buffalo Bills are.
Yeah,
I get the feeling that's coming.
And that's the thing that you have to know about, we're talking about all these, these players that the Bills are going to get, this team they're trying to build is going to be a lot of new parts and a lot of new faces. And this team this year is going to be very different from the team a year ago, even if they've got a lot of the same key players on, like Micah Hyde, Josh Allen, some of the old, and Lorenzo Alexander. There's going to be some veteran guys there who've been around for a while. But there's going to be a lot of guys around them who have just got there this year. And you need guys to fill roles. You want somebody to stand up and have the guys look to them and have them say some things in the locker room before you go out to play that gets everybody's mind in the exact same spot so you can play like a team. Micah Hyde may be that guy. But it's going to be a very different football team this coming season, and it's going to be interesting to see how those roles are filled.
His point on Tredavious White, I think, is an overlooked point. Look, we all know Tredavious is a great athlete, a great cover guy, a shutdown corner in the making, right? Matt Bowen talked about how well he has been coached at LSU and with the Buffalo Bills. He says you see his technique, his competitiveness is there. I think we overlook that sometimes when it comes to Tredavious. He knows how to play. He knows how to line up. He knows how to play. It's not just a physical with him.
Right. It's not just about being a fast guy and outrunning people and being physical in the line of scrimmage. Corners, and every great player is this way, they're thinkers. The great players are thinkers. Tredavious White's a thinker. You watch things. You notice things about your opponent. You watch film, and you have a depth of knowledge about what receivers like to do, what they're asked to do, what this team does differently than everybody else. And you take that with you onto the field, and you have the ability to get out ahead of what that team's doing offensively, what this receiver's going to do. I think I've seen this on film. I'm going to get it. I'm going to get there, and I'm ahead of it. That's really difficult to do as a corner when you're playing 100 miles an hour. And Tredavious White does that, and he did it at a young age. And having been coached like he has been coached and having the personality to soak it in and make and own it, that's what it takes to be a great player in the NFL. There's just no two ways about it.
And the last guy that Bowen was talking about, we don't talk about him much either, Levi Wallace, undrafted rookie free agent, comes in, starts the last six or seven games last year. And look, would it surprise me if the Bills look to get better there this offseason at corner opposite Tredavious? No, it would not surprise me. And that's for the reasons that Bowen points out. Can he get bigger? Yeah, he's not big. Maybe not great in run support sometimes. Targeted a lot in college. Handled himself well. I think he knows he'll be challenged with Tredavious on the other side. And I really like what they got from Levi Wallace. They may have to line up and play with him as a starter opening day this year. And I think that would be okay. Maybe not optimal, but okay for them.
And I think he'd be comfortable there.
Yeah.
I think, after playing as many snaps as he did last season and coming in, getting a full lap in, full calendar year in, coming back and seeing how the young guys coming in and seeing how much more he knows and how much further ahead he is than he was a year ago when he first stepped onto the campus over at St. John Fisher, and look around and say, he'll get to this point where he'll say, I can do this, and he'll probably own it. And I think that's going to be huge for these guys coming back into their second year and all the way from, Josh Allen all the way down through guys like Levi Wallace and Taron Johnson and guys who are fresh on the scene to come back to have seen everything for a full year, full season, and gain a lot of confidence from that. Another year in the system, another year of training, a year where they weren't distracted by anything else. Were they going to have a job in the NFL? Were they going to get drafted? Were they not? Where are they going to sign? What's it going to be like? All those questions are answered now, and it makes them better football players as a result.
All right, time now for NFL True and False, brought to you by Yancey's Fancy New York's Artisan Cheese. Couple of topics Steve and I are going to bat around here. The Raiders should trade quarterback Derek Carr. That's what some people think. Mike Mayock told people at the Combine last week, Derek Carr is a franchise quarterback. I believe it as a general manager. I think you got to improve, Mayock said, but it's really difficult to try to improve over a franchise quarterback like the one we have in our building right now. Derek Carr should be traded by the Raiders. I say false. Go ahead and do it if you want to be in the market for a quarterback, Gruden and the Oakland Raiders. But you've got a guy who I think has what it takes to be a franchise quarterback, a good one in this NFL right now. No, he should not be traded.
Yeah,
I say false.
That's crazy talk.
They might do it. They're the Raiders. They are crazy.
If they do that, they need to have somebody else running their franchise. If they trade Derek Carr, that's crazy talk. What are you doing?
I'm not doing it.
If they trade Derek Carr, something's up. Something's broken over there. Because there's no way you trade Derek. For the things that they did this last season, as crazy as they were, trading away Khalil Mack, trading away Amari Cooper, and stinking the joint up, and their draft didn't make any sense last year. You trade Derek Carr. What are you trying to – are you trying to get better or not? You've already got him signed. You've got him under the cap. He's all set. Let's go.
They traded Khalil Mack.
Do they have any idea?
Which is why they might trade Derek Carr, because they're the Raiders and they're idiots.
How can John Gruden, of all people, not understand how hard it is to find a quarterback as good as Derek Carr? That is, it's you can't do it. I mean, they don't fall off the tree.
I agree.
Okay, NFL they're not going to do that.
Part two. Kyler Murray, Nick Bosa have equal odds to go first overall in the draft. New Jersey FanDuel Sportsbook have Murray, Kyler Murray, and Bosa co-favorites, both at plus 110. Bosa was the favorite, but the early money came in on Kyler Murray, and the line has shifted to make them co-favorites. Murray and Bosa, co-favorites to go first overall. You can go first. True or false?
I'll say false. I don't think Nick Bosa is as likely to go as Kyler Murray, and I don't think Nick Bosa is even as likely to go as a guy like Quinnen Williams. Bosa's good, and he may go in the top pick, but I don't think he's any more likely than Kyler Murray or as likely as those other two guys to go.
I think it's false because I think it appears, based on the last week of reporting, that the Cardinals are sold on Kyler Murray and they would make him the first overall. Which I don't know if that's the right move, but I think that's the way it looks like it might go. And finally, NFL true or false, the Patriots should make a move for quarterback Josh Rosen back to the Cardinals. Here we go. Josh Rosen said to be getting ready to be traded away by the Arizona Cardinals. Maybe as the Cardinals get set to pick Josh Rosen. Does he go to the New England Patriots? Brady, 42 years old when the season begins. Rosen, 6'4" tall, just like Brady. And Rosen is just 22 years old. Sit for a year or two behind Brady, and then maybe play for the New England Patriots. The Patriots should make a move for Josh Rosen, true or false? You know what? I'm going to say true. I think Rosen has something to offer the Patriots or Washington or the Giants or somebody else in this league, and a scenario where he could go and sit behind a good player for a couple of years, learn how to play, develop, that'd be perfect for him. I'd say true. If I were the Patriots, I would look at that.
I got to say true as well. I don't. It's crazy to think that he has no shot in the NFL of being a good quarterback. He played on a bad team last year with a head coach that they fired after 1 year. It was a mess out there. There's no way any quarterback I can think of could have been dropped in there for 1 year and been successful, let alone a young quarterback like Rosen. And the Patriots are in the perfect spot to pick up a guy with maybe an upside that they can check out for a year or two without, a third-round pick? Yeah, absolutely. I would do it too.
I like the Bills guy, but I don't dislike Josh Rosen even after his rookie year. I think he's got something to offer a team and maybe a future to offer a team. A team like New England that's got to start looking.
I think that's all up in the air for him. I don't think there's anybody's – I don't know. Because all the people that were evaluating Josh Rosen are out of the building in Arizona. They don't know how good or bad he was in practice or, they got a whole new staff out there.
Well, the GM is there. Remains kind.
Yeah, the one who hired the guy he fired 12 months later.
Yeah.
Yep. 11 and three-quarter months after he hired the guy. Yep. That's crazy.
All right, there you go. NFL True or False brought to you by Yancey's Fancy, New York's Artisan Cheese. Steve and I back with more cheese in a moment. One Bills Live from One Bills Drive, and this is Buffalo Bills Radio. Well, what did we learn from today's show, you ask? It's presented by Advanced Alarm, providing Western New York's homes and businesses with the finest in security and home theater, the preferred alarm and home theater provider of the Buffalo Bills. What do we learn? We learned a lot from Kyle Williams, who just wrapped up his first weekend of bonafide TV work. Kyle did some on-field stuff for NFL Network, covering the defensive line drills at the NFL Scouting Combine. And Steve asked Kyle about his biggest impression from the Scouting Combine last weekend.
It's such a production now. And what I mean by that is, when I went, a lot of the things you did were behind closed doors and then just got reported, and then everybody saw you run the 40, and that was kind of it, right? Now you're getting a live look at vertical jump, broad jump, 40-yard dash. You're getting a live look at all of these things, which is a really cool thing. The NFL has pulled the veil back on it and really kind of invited everyone in. Which has got to be exciting for fans and people that are trying to keep up with their team year-round.
Kyle was a part of that with the NFL Network, did a good job in his NFL Network duties. Also today, Jordan Phillips joined us. Bills defensive tackle just signed a one-year contract extension with the Bills. 1 year is all. He has a chance to replace Kyle Williams in the Buffalo lineup on the defensive line. And we asked Jordan Phillips for his outlook on the upcoming Bills season.
Well, I mean, if you look at last season, I don't really want to dwell on it too much, but there was a few games that we should have won
right. That
we lost, and we could have finished the season at least 9-7. And if we just didn't have a couple hiccups, our season would be completely different. And if you look at those things, and we're a young team, and the more mature we get, the more leaders we have, those 6-10 is easily going to turn into 9-7 and up from there. So it's hard to say that we're not going to go somewhere, I guess.
Right. Easily turn into 9-7, Jordan Phillips' prediction. They could be 9-7 next
Nothing's
year. They could
easy.
Win 10. But it's not going to be easy, right? I mean, I'm as optimistic as the next guy, but easily 9-7. As soon as he said it, you didn't notice. You were looking the other way. It just kind of jumped in my seat. Don't say it's going to be easy to be 9-7. It won't be easy to get 9-7. They need to get to 9-7, 10 wins, maybe more. But it's not going to be easy.
No, and like I said earlier, a moment ago, it's going to be a bit different team. It's going to be a different team. There are going to be some faces that we don't know yet contributing, hopefully contributing. Like last year at this time, we didn't know who, Josh Allen and Tremaine Edmonds were going to be a part of the mix. Didn't know Taron Johnson, Levi Wallace. Didn't know Robert Foster. We didn't know these guys. And yet, now it's kind of like, we're happy we got them, but who's this crew going to be coming in from this draft? That's why it's such a fun time.
It is fun. Hey, we did our Twitter poll today. Steve didn't like the poll. I think it was okay on the Twitter. Okay, I said. On the Twitter poll today, we asked, what can the Bills do to help Josh Allen the most? Not the only thing they need to do. They need to do a lot. What will help Josh Allen the most this offseason? 70% say rebuild that offensive line. Get it. Agree. 25% say acquire some wide receivers. Need to do that. 3% say add tight ends. They only have one on the roster right now. 2% has something else in mind. Good Twitter poll. I don't care what anybody says. Good Twitter poll and another one coming up tomorrow. Tomorrow we're going to talk about the disaster that one writer thinks will be the offseason, especially free agency next week. Mike Tanier says it's going to be a disaster. Okay, we'll talk to him about that tomorrow.
We'll see.
Yeah, our production assistants, George Blass, Jeff Koltnick, Thomas Hollander, Kelly Rude, J.J. Torito, Kevin Cargis, James Roble, our producer, Jay Harris. Steve and I back for more tomorrow, 12 noon to 3 p.m. One Bills Live, presented by Kalina Health from One Bills Drive. This is Buffalo Bills Radio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.